Jeremiah chapter 23. There's two verses that I want to read from the 23rd chapter. This is verse 28 and 29. Jeremiah 23, verse 28 and verse 29. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces? I want to preach this afternoon on the efficacious word. The efficacious word, or we could say the powerful word. The powerful word. Here in this book of Jeremiah, the pastors or governors of Israel have scattered or driven away the Lord's flock. If you'll notice in verse 1 and 2, it says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord." A promise is made of giving them other shepherds. For in verse 3 and 4 he says, "And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." In other words, the Lord our righteous hath provided for them. For look at verse 5 and 6. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteous." He goes on in this chapter and speaks of the deliverance from Egypt in verse 7 and 8. Then he talks about the wickedness of the prophets and the priests among Judah in verse 9 down through verse 15. But then he goes on and talks about in verse 16 through 20 that God's wrath is coming upon these wicked ones. The Lord had evil prophets. For if you'll notice in verse 21 and 22, "I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings." It's clear here that the Lord had not sent these prophets. He goes on, "even though they ran and even though they proclaimed the word, even though they prophesied." He goes on from verse 23 down through verse 29, and he compares them to chaff and wheat. But then in verse 30 through 32, here's what the Lord says about these prophets. "Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor, Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, He saith. So Jeremiah is bringing out here, the Lord is against these false prophets, false priests, and false teachers. It's even true today. Many today stand with, He saith. Or, thus saith the Lord, and they are yet false prophets. They are scoffers of the Word of God. For look, in verse 33, and when this people, or the prophet or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, What is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, What burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that say, The burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man in his house. Thus shall you say every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, What hath the Lord answered and what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall you mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, What hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken? But since you say, The burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, Because you say this word, The burden of the Lord, I have sent unto you, saying, You shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. What we find here is, even in the days of the Old Testament, even in the days of Judah and Israel, there were those that were false prophets. There were those that proclaimed. And even as today, they held the Word of God, but they were not men of God. They were false prophets. And they led the people astray. They perverted the ways of the Lord. And they perverted the Word of God. And the same thing is still true today. But I'm thankful that the Word of God is efficacious. The Word of God is powerful. We saw that this morning from Hebrews 4, verse 12. We saw that from Isaiah 55 and verse 11. But I want you to notice, even though there were those that had and were false prophets, notice with me in verse 28, there were some true prophets. Or in verse 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. But now look at this. And he that hath my word, there were some true prophets. The word of prophecy by revelation. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Now, I know and realize that, and I'm aware that you are aware of the same thing. You ever have anybody that's coming up with some new visions, and you ever meet anybody that's always talking about something extra from the Bible or that they come up with? You know, this is a continuous thing. Sometimes it's almost humorous if it wasn't so serious. But I believe that Paul said it best in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. And he says it like this. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, that is by revealing to them, or revelation to them, of the Word of God, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets.
There were true prophets. It says, by the prophets. The true prophets had the Word of God. And Jeremiah said, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. But he said, the prophet that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. In other words, proclaim or preach the word of God. The word of prophecy was by the influence of the Holy Spirit. But what we must understand is the word of prophecy was not only by the influence of the Holy Spirit, but it was always in agreement with the word of God. It was the same word that we have today. It was not any different. It was always in agreement. See, the prophet of the Old Testament was just not given some vision or revelation of something that was extra. The true prophet of the Old Testament was given the Word of God, just like we have the Word of God today, was given the Word of God. See, the Word hadn't changed. It's the same Word. And as we spoke this morning, it is the eternal Word. I realize that what we have to realize is those verses I used this morning, like John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was the same Word, the same message that we have today, that is written, that we have. It wasn't different. The same Word of God. It was same. It is the eternal Word, and the true prophets only spoke the Word of God. Have you ever read of these old prophets like Jeremiah? When you start off that first chapter, it gives you a little glimpse of Jeremiah. And you know how that he approached Almighty God. And God said, well, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew ye. And then he said that he was going to go to different places and he was going to speak the Word of God, the Word that God gave him. And he said, don't be afraid of their faces. And he went through a whole thing there in that first chapter. We've got to remember that we're just the deliverers of God's Word. That we're just the proclaimers or the preachers of God's Word. Jeremiah had to realize that. Isaiah had to realize that. All the Old Testament prophets had to realize that. So, the true prophet spoke only the Word of God. What we have to remember is, it's the same Word that's spoken today. Because look in verse 2 of Hebrews 1. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Now see, the Word of God was proclaimed in Old Testament time. It was the true prophets that spoke the Word of God. Hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, that is the Word of God, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. So the same Word is spoken today. Exactly the same Word. You occasionally run into people that will get in all kinds of religious or theological discussions with you. We do this lots of times at the workplace. It's work hall theology or something, I reckon you call it. Everybody has it, wherever you work. And you're going to run into people that's going to try to draw a line or a barrier between the Old Testament and New Testament. And they're going to try to have one way of salvation in the Old, another way in the New. They're going to have something else spoken in the Old and something else spoken in the New. But that's not so. Old and New is the same Word of God that we have. And the salvation is the same way. One, of course, was by faith and the other through faith. But it's still faith. It's the faith of Jesus Christ that is given unto us. But then, the false prophets, there was true prophets, and they had the Word of God. But there were false prophets, said, If he had a dream, tell it as a dream. Now don't tell it like it's the Word of God. You get the point? A lot of people today have a dream and they try to say, now this is the Word of God. This is what needs to be written extra. This is what God's revealed to me. Well, I got a lot to say for that. Most it's baloney. You know, because here's what God is revealing to us, which is the written Word. And so he said, now for these false prophets, you dreamers, go on and tell your dream. But don't touch the Word. Don't try to make it out like it's the Word of God. You know, they say they got just enough flavoring in there to deceive people. Just enough. So I said, oh, they're okay. Said they believe in grace. What kind of grace? Or they believe in God. What kind of a God? So he said, if you have a dream, tell it as a dream. Don't make it to be the Word of God. And by all means, tell it as your own. And it's not from the Lord. People try to get you to believe that there's a lot of things come to them from the Lord. But we know different. Why do we have 1 John 4:1? To try the spirits. And what do you try the spirits with? The Word of God. Don't be gullible or fall for many things that people say today because they claim to be a preacher. Some persons handle the Word of God today, but they are not directed by the Holy Spirit to deliver it. They say, thus saith the Lord. It's what they say. That's what they were saying in the Old Testament. And there is a lot of deceivers. They present it as half-truths. They present it as perverted truths. And what it is, it's chaff. Jeremiah referred to the wheat and he referred to the chaff. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Paul wrote to Timothy and said in 2 Timothy 3, and I believe that he gives us a good warning here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And listen to what he says in verse 5 down through verse 9. He says this. Now the whole start of this is, or the whole subject of this is in verse 2, for men. But then he said in verse 5, having a form of godliness. I've heard people say sometimes, that seems to be the most godly person I've ever seen. Why don't they preach the truth? See what I'm saying? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, he said, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive. Silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. See, it's always been in every era, withstood them. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But we see, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Now don't you feel that in that day that there was a lot of people said, oh, Jeremiah's just jealous. After all, Jeremiah don't really know what he's talking about. Well, I'll tell you what, if we had to sit on some of the preaching like Jeremiah and Isaiah and some of them, most of us would crawl on the seat. That's where we go. We're so something. Y'all put the word to it. You can probably better describe yourself than I can. Their preaching and prophecy produces ungodly lives. These lives manifested their false doctrine. For in Jeremiah 23, look at verse 11 through verse 14. Jeremiah 23, 11 through 14. For both prophet and priest are profane. Now look at this real close. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen falling the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied and veiled and caused my people Israel to err. I've seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. Now there's two kinds of adultery. Physical adultery is bad, but spiritual adultery is really bad. And we've got more people today committing spiritual adultery in the day and time in which we live. That's unionizing and yoking up with anything just called itself Christian. I mean, it's rampant today, folks. Very few Baptist churches are holding their identity today. And this is what he's speaking of. I just received a letter for Ashland Avenue is having the pastor of Southland Christian Church preach in their services. I mean, I would have never, Brother Walker would turn over in his grave. Thank God he's gone. I mean, as far as being out of that. I'm telling you, that's spiritual fornication. It's spiritual fornication of the worst kind. I don't know how far that thing's going to go. It's done gone. Or I'm sorry, it's done gone. And you know, it grieves me. I went to school there. Some of you others went to school there too. And you know the stand that was taken at that time there. Okay. And they strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are of all them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. I realize and I know that their preaching and prophecy produced ungodly lives. They mixed the chaff with the wheat. And 99% of it was chaff. But brethren, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So we see that then you go on and you see here in verse 28, it says, let him speak my word faithfully or truly. The prophet, the priest, or the preacher. One of the requirements is integrity. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 with me, if you will, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the ministry of God. Mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. What we have in this scripture is that person must be of honorable character. He must speak the word of God faithfully. Now, I know that other with the world is popular.
And I tell you, there's more of it going on today than many times we know about and care to know about. But I believe that we need to heed what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy. He said there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 2. Now you know and I know that if somebody got up in this pulpit and preached baptismal regeneration, y'all think you'd sit there real quiet? Well, first of all, they're not going... I mean, I'm not... If I know it, they're not going to be invited. And if I did it and you all knew it, then that would be Katie bar the door. It ought to be. I mean, I know that. But Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, here's what he said. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And brethren, the first thing would call me and Mike, whatever his name is at Southside Christian Church, is that we believe that salvation is by grace. It's not by works and baptism. That's the first thing would call us. Right there. At all times, under all circumstances, is what Paul's saying to Timothy, even when men will not endure sound doctrine. I told some of our preacher brethren, we're living in one of the greatest times to be able to preach the Word of God and stand for the truth when so many Baptists are falling by the wayside. There is a greater need today for men of God in churches to stand for the truth of God's Word than any other time of any other age. What it is, we're at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord's getting His bride ready. He's getting His bride ready. And even in a day when men will not endure sound doctrine, we're to speak only God's Word, and we're to speak the whole counsel of Word, and we're to speak it truly. We're not to hold back. The reason for this is for speaking God's Word truly, it is only for God's glory. It is for the good of immortal souls. Speak God's Word as truth. Because it comes from the God of truth, and the subject matter is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the desires of our hearts should be not to please men, but God. And here's the thing. God's people will rejoice in the Word of God. There'll be a whole lot of people that won't receive it, but God's people will rejoice in it. I find that there, in the meetings and conferences that I'm in now, I find that there is a greater eagerness for the preaching of God's Word than any other time. I find churches more anxious and thirsty for just the same simple, plain truths of God's Word that we've preached from the very beginning. The whole idea is this. John chapter 10 says, my sheep hear my voice. And another voice they just won't follow. But now when you go back to Jeremiah again in 23, and you see what the old prophet is saying here in Jeremiah 23, and he says this there in that 28th verse, he says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? And then in the 29th verse, he says this, is not my word like a fire? If anything will set you on fire, it's the Word of God. You talk about setting your fields on fire,
And the reason for that, it's quick and sharp. Like Hebrews 4:12 that I quoted this morning, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints of the marrow, and discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart." What it does, it pierces and it penetrates the hearts and the consciences of men and women and boys and girls. It's like a fire. I thought about Jeremiah earlier said he was sort of going to do like we do sometimes. He was going to renege. He was going to slack off. And he said, "Oh me, there's a burning in my bones." You ever try that? "And the Word of God set you on fire?" Why, certainly. I've even myself. I tell you, it pierces and penetrates in the hearts and the consciences of men. It works many times wrath there. Some people get furious. I, through the years, found out the people that get the maddest are usually the ones the Lord's working on. I don't know, but I've thought back and through the years and the opposition and things that we've had, and when people would get so up and down and they were that would be the very one the Lord would take the Word of God and beat them to death. I mean, I can remember, and some of you probably can recall this. I remember once, it's been a long time ago, and I reckon I'm remembering back in the past, but I remember preaching something about against dancing. And one lady just called up and she was giving me right down the road. I mean, really going. And I thought, and the first thing you know, she came to join this church. Some of you know who she was because I know that. I mean, it was. And I said, "My, my." And you know, but you know, that's the way it is. That's the way the Word of God, that's what the Word of God does. That's been a long time ago. It just happened to come to my mind. It raises, I believe, the Word of God raises a fearful expectation of a fiery indignation of God. It threatens with everlasting hell. It sentences men to the fires of hell. But then the gospel is part of the Word of God too. And the gospel is the fire, is like a fire to the lost. The light or the entrance it gives to sinners, they see their impotence and they see their insufficiency. And the Word of God brings this home and causes them to see that they're undone. They see their impurity. It has a scorching and a tormenting heat to wicked men and fills them with burning malice and with envy. Look in Revelation 11. And there in verse 5. I mean, chapter 11, verse 5 and 10. "If any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will kill them, he must in this manner be killed." Verse 10. "And they dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth." So we see that Jeremiah says that is not my word like as a fire, like as a fire. Christ even called it a fire. In Luke chapter 12, and there in verse 49, he said this. He said, "I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if I be already if it be already kindled?" Human nature through the corruption of that is the occasion of contention and discord. It has different effects as fire. Paul said in the Corinthian letter, the section said, to one we are a Savior of death unto death, and to another the Savior of life unto life.
But then he still said, regardless of the result, preach the Word.
Take the Word and proclaim the Word.
But then I believe the Word is a fire, the effect of the Word in the saved.
What does the Word of God do to the saved?
It warms our hearts. It brings us comfort. What's the verse that pops, that comes in your mind? 1 Thessalonians 4:18. What's 1 Thessalonians 4:18 say? You know what it says. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with
these words. The Word of God, it causes our hearts to burn in us. It inflames us to love for God and for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it inflames us to love one another.
What's the common bond between us? The Word of God. Who's the Word of God? The Lord Jesus Christ.
What and who is the common bond between us? Why is it that we love each other so much?
It's because of the Word of God. It works purifying and sanctification, as John 17:17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is true. It opposes and exposes the worst in the saved. Not that I'm trying to, but I can't get by with anything. God always exposes it, the Word of God. I get preached to so much. Now, I mean at conferences. I don't mean at home. I mean at conferences. Talking to one lady this morning, she said, about her, and she said, well, he did say reprove and rebuke. I said, uh-oh. You know, take that a little bit out of context. But anyway, and I realize that I know what that was, and I gave another word for that. She said, well, my husband says the same thing, you know, for it. But it opposes and exposes the worst in the saved.
The Word of God comes along and shows us our condition.
Lust and corruption. It teaches us to deny all of these things. It teaches us to deny ourselves. But it also manifests the best in the saint. It tells us of the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us of Christ's righteousness that we have received. It burns up the chaff of false doctrine and human inventions. Been a big change in me, and there's been a big change in you. What brought it about? The Word of God. Some things God just washed out of my life, and some things He just washed out of your life. Best thing ever happened to you. Now, Brother Walker, I always say taking a bath in God's bathtub. He's talking about sanctification. And then he goes on and says here in this, is my word not like a hammer that beateth the rock in pieces? I tell you, the old heart of a man's like a rock. It's hardened by sin. It's destitute of spiritual life. It's stubborn. It's impotent. It's impenitent. God gives us the Word of God like a hammer. But the Word of God is always in the hand of the Holy Spirit. The mighty Word of God smashing hard hearts, and through the law part of the Word, there's the knowledge of sin. The soul is wounded a sense of it. Through the gospel part of the Word, the strong heart is broken and melted into repentance for sin. The sinner sees a Savior bruised and broken for his sin. He sees a full pardon by Christ's blood and justification by His righteousness. And the Word of God is the only instrument
The Word of God. I realize and I know. I'm always joking and going on with someone that has a little problem getting something done. I said, what they need is some Three Stooge medicine. You know what the one stooge always used on the others? A hammer. And he would, I don't know how they ever could forbear, but he kept hitting that poor fellow in the head so many times. He ought to be dead by now. You know, as many times as he hit him in the head with that hammer. And that's the way the Word of God is. And the Holy Spirit takes that hammer, that Word of God, and He knocks and pecks and He beats. And He causes that person to see it is not the efficient cause of all of this. It can do nothing of itself passive. It's like a hammer without a hand. But it's in the hand of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knows where to take it. And He knows when to take it. So God takes the Word and uses it like a hammer, and it will accomplish His purpose. See, that was the whole idea of Isaiah 55:11. If you'll turn over there, I've mentioned this several times this morning. And I thought, well, the repetition will do us good. Maybe we'll remember the verse at least. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. I realize and I know that the Word of God is efficacious. It's powerful. In conclusion, we see the destructiveness of the Word of God. The Word of God tears down. Causes a person to see who they are and what they are. But then we see the warmth of the Word of God. But then we also see the protection of the Word of God. And as I mentioned this morning, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall remain. The psalmist always starts out like this. And I believe this is a wonderful saying. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the Word of God. He doth meditate day and night. Isn't it interesting how many times you wake up thinking about the Word of God? Isn't it interesting? I mean, now think with me. How many times during the day that God, the Holy Spirit, brings the Word of God to your mind? And even at night. So, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What a wonderful promise. That's the efficacious Word. That's the Word of God. If there's anything we ought to teach one another, it's the Word of God. If there's anything that we ought to teach our children, is the Word of God. Our prayer life ought to be seasoned fully with the Word of God. Our conversation ought to be seasoned fully with the Word of God. Our lives ought to be seasoned fully with the Word of God. May God help us. I want to be like Paul told Timothy. He said, Timothy, just preach the Word. Somebody said, what are we to do? We're to do what the Lord told us. Preach the Word. You mean that's all we do? That's what he said. Preach the Word. And what we must remember is, my word is as a fire, and my word is like a hammer.
And it will accomplish that which God has purposed for it to accomplish. If you're here this afternoon and you're saved, rejoice in the Word of God.
Be thankful for the Word of God. What it means to you in your life to have the Word of God.
If you're here and you're not saved, the Word of God says that you're a sinner.
The Word of God says as a sinner that you need a Savior. And the Word of God says that Savior is Jesus Christ. And the only way that you can receive Jesus Christ is through repentance and faith.
Repenting of your sins and receiving the faith of Jesus Christ.